We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Loveline with Dr. Chris starts.
3, 2, 1.
Now.
All righty. Thursday night. You know what that means? The weekend's almost here. Also, tomorrow's Valentine's Day. Oh, bless y'all. Some of you are probably so sick of hearing about this. So again, sending love to those that are unhappily single or unhappily in a marriage or a relationship. Don't let tomorrow affect you too much. And for those that are in love or happily partnered and going to be celebrating the holiday, whoop, whoop, whoop. I'm going to be doing the same thing. Oh, man. It's so interesting to see what holidays bring up for people. But Valentine's Day, I know, Single Awareness Day, as some people are calling it. But, you know, I'm holding space for all of you. Love to all of you. Question of the night. Take a guess. It's Valentine's Day related. Tonight's question of the night on our Loveline IG page is worst Valentine's Day horror story or gift. Yep. Birthdays and Valentine's Day bring out some of the worst gift giving ever. And unfortunately, scenarios as well. It all just gets rolled up in a big ball entitled, We Treat Each Other Poorly Sometimes. All right. Also, it's Thursday night. That means we'll be playing game night. If you want to go head-to-head with me on our Thursday night game night, slide into the DMs on our Loveline IG page and tell the producers I want to play game night because you'll be battling me for a Channel Q prize package. And it's not some shim-sham on a flim-flam slap-together thing. It's actually got some badass things in there. We got t-shirts, some products from some of the guests that have been on. It's pretty cool. So anyway, yeah, game night, Thursday nights. But slide in anytime. Tell the producers you want to play game night with me. And also, we'll be doing a little couples therapy. Rebecca Shida, licensed therapist, will be joining me. And she told me she has quite an interesting topic. It's about a peach. Yep, got to stick around to figure out what that means. But again, sometimes a peach is not just a peach. All right, let's get into some stuff. So, you know, some little random topics tonight, but I think they all have a lot of meaning and value. And it's kind of just where my head goes sometimes. So Jada Pinkett Smith, who's, I think, really gotten more attention for her Red Table Talks than her acting career. I'm not even really 100% sure if she's still acting. I'm kind of removed from that world at times. But that show's got a lot of attention. I think there's a lot of beauty and power to what's happening on that show. So she recently posted a video, and then she followed up with a social media post clarifying, and I completely disagree with her position. Completely. So basically, I'm rolling a big thing into a tiny little nutshell. She basically says friendship is more important than romance in a marriage. I don't agree at all. And I think that that can actually, that kind of perspective can set people up for a lot of problems. She says, and I quote, my romantic standard of love was all that mattered. And if it wasn't met, there was more than hell to pay. My romantic standards were feeding my ego, whether they were met or not. Now that piece of it all, I agree with. We don't want our entire self-worth and our ego tied up in whether or not our partner is meeting what our vision of romance is, because everyone enters relationships with different perspectives as to what they find to be romantic or expressions of love. We talk often in that context about love language, and the love language concept is learning your partner's love language so that you can express love in ways that they interpret it. So it's not about you knowing yours and wanting them to meet that. It's about you learning theirs so you can give that to them. Okay. So I appreciate that. Your ego shouldn't be tied up in that as powerfully. You've got to be more flexible. But what I don't agree with is her headline, which is friendship is more important than romance in a marriage. Marriages and romantic relationships are built on romance. That is their purpose. They are giving you the beauty and gift of romance and eroticism. That's what they're for. I'm not saying don't have a friendship of some sort with your partner. That's beautiful. That's your go-to often. That's your main support. That's the person that might know you deepest. But I think it should be centered around eroticism and romance. Your friends are what are platonic and non-sexual, non-romantic for some. But your romantic partner is that, your romantic partner. And us couples therapists, because she's not, so she's kind of swerving outside her lane a little bit. Not that she doesn't have a point, but it's wrong. But we center people in romance and sexuality. That's a beautiful resource and bridge to deeper intimacy that's not accessible to other people. If Jade is in a monogamous relationship, then she's missing out on the romance and sexuality that can keep her more connected and go even deeper. And those are important drives and needs. And so, no, you know, romantic partners should be that romantic and friends are that friendship. And again, there can be elements of both, but that's not what they're centered in. So you're wrong. Okay. Orthorexia. I bring this up because this is really meaningful and important as well. It's not a recognized diagnosis. A lot of the important diagnoses actually aren't currently recognized, so that's not really saying much. But orthorexia is the idea that an eating disorder can be rooted in living off of a healthy lifestyle. What does that mean? It means this. When someone says, yeah, you know, I'm working on a healthier diet and I'm trying to eat better and I'm making healthier choices, everyone's going to say, ah, that sounds great. What could be wrong with that? Well, it can conceal eating disorders because some people, unbeknownst even to them, have ruled out and limited their eating in service of losing or maintaining weight or promoting an eating disorder for themselves. They focus on only a few foods. Now, when they present it as I'm just eating healthier and I'm eating more fruits and vegetables, people are like, of course, that sounds good. But it's really rooted in a restrictive diet. And restricting foods and ruling foods out as good or bad is eating disordered behavior. But in our health-obsessed culture, a lot of things that are actually eating disordered go undiagnosed because they sound great to us. People say things like, oh, I'm having a cheat day. But that's binging. That is disordered eating. Or I'm going on some of these fad diets, or I don't like what I ate last night, so I'm going to the gym. That's a form of bulimia. You're using exercise as a way to purge unwanted or undesirable calories. So the reason why I bring this up is just for you to check in with yourself. If you're someone who's rooted in a lot of quote-unquote healthy eating, is that about actually trying to improve your health and eating more nutritious foods? Or is it rooted in ruling out foods because you have a fear of them and it's focused on weight loss and aesthetics? And just really zero in on that. Might be also time to get into some therapy if you're seeing that that's what you're doing and work with someone who can help you around that. Abercrombie & Fitch, all about this. They're launching a new campaign. Campaign is called Face Your Fears. It's kind of a little bit of a spin because traditionally Abercrombie & Fitch has really controversially sexual ads, which I'm fine with, but they're always very homoerotic, but rooted in a lot of heterosexuality. So it's a lot of guys that meet these heterosexual standards. Women will be included as well, but the guys always have a little bit of a wink with the way they're kind of touching each other. Well, this new ad is more inclusive based, and they just premiered it. It has Megan Rapinoe, who's the out lesbian soccer champ, also transgender model and dancer Lena Bloom, also a para Olympian Scott Bowsett, and a few other people. And basically, they're trying to bring in more inclusivity and diversity. Now, look, I'm not going to fault someone for making a move in the right direction, but I will call out their interesting timing, that they're doing it at a time where it's popular and safer. So it's a little performative for me. Still great, still important, but where were you a decade ago? Where were you 5 years ago? Where were you before it got cool and important to do this? So still good, but like the time is a little suspicious. I'm just going to say that. Okay. Coming up next, doing a little couples therapy, and then later we'll be sliding into those DMs. You're listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline. This is Loveline with Dr. Chris
on channel Q.
All right, we're back, and it's Thursday night, so it's time for some couples therapy.
Couples therapy.
So we've got licensed therapist Rebecca Ishida with us. What's going on, Rebecca?
Not much, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing good. So you were just telling me earlier that it's time for the kids to apply to college, or
yes,
your son is. That's not fun.
No. I've learned a lot during this process. Yes. I've learned that sometimes I have panic attacks.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's that.
Are you do you have any feelings about him going off to college?
I'm excited for him. I mean, I think I'm sitting in that right now, but I think that it'll be sad. You know, I feel really close to my son and I adore him. And it'll be strange to not have him there, you know. But, you know, they grow up and they.
Ooh, he's got a whole life ahead of him.
I know.
College is like life shrunk down. I mean, he's
so going
to grow and change quick.
I know.
I remember when Ethan was like little nugget. I mean, when I see photos of him, I'm like, wow, he's an adult.
I know.
In my head, he's a nugget. So. Moving forward, though, topically, you were sharing a story with me that I thought had a lot of meaning and value in it. So why don't you share with our listeners a story, and also just always the caveat, you know, me and Rebecca as therapists always change details as needed. So this is a composite. It's not, you know, us divulging anything from sessions, but let's go into it.
Okay. So I had a couple come in, and we're going to call them Joe and Mary.
Perfect.
So they came in, and they were very upset, or I should say Mary was upset, because Joe had a peach in his backpack. And
I already love the entry point. I love that the story begins with Mary was upset and it centered around Joe having a peach in his backpack.
Exactly.
Because I think a lot of couples at home listening are like, oh, this is us. We already know the ridiculousness that's coming. Because in long-term relationships, sometimes also in early-term relationships, you can get really hung up on these really minute basic things.
Right, right, exactly. So this peach is in this backpack, and the concern is the peach, since it's been in the backpack all day, is it bruised? Is it ruined? And Joe refuses to check. He's like, I'm not checking my backpack. I know the peach is fine. But the peach has been in your backpack all day. No, it's fine. So the refusal then to check the backpack to see if the peach is alive and well, and then the fear that if the peach is not well, that then Mary will lose her peach because Joe will take a different peach from the fridge. So
this is why I love relationships.
It's fantastic.
Because these are the things that we can really get hung up on and like dig our heels into.
Right.
Oh, no, this is the battle we want to fight. Right. Is that peach doing all right? And what is the meaning if it's not?
Right. So what's so interesting about it, first of all, is it was very fun.
That's right.
And I really love those moments because they're so like vulnerable and sort of raw and like playful, but at the same time there's just a lot of meaning in it.
Right.
You know, because why does Joe not want to open up his backpack and just say, look, peach is fine?
Right,
because
I would say if that's what your partner needs to feel okay and soothed, why would you not just do
well,
that?
Well, right, but then if you look at it, it's because of the history of the checking
right.
behavior, or the history of maybe I'm going to check your personal stuff,
right.
or I'm going to, you know, and so, no, Joe's like, this is my peach
I'm
and I'm owning it.
I'm setting a boundary.
I'm setting a boundary. Boundaries. You cannot go in this backpack.
That's right.
And, you know, and then what is Mary's anxiety about it? And what, importantly, like, how do we choose our battles? What
right.
things are important? What things do you say, you know what, I'm going to let this go. This is your peach. If you want to mess up your backpack,
right.
a messy peach, that's up to you. You know, but it's really interesting if you break it down, because typically there are a lot of themes there, and there are a lot of things going on in that particular relationship around this. It's not about the peach.
Right.
It's never about the peach.
It's never just a peach. But that's why I love those moments as well, because it can become a really beautiful entry point into a deeper, more
yes.
powerful conversation
yes.
around how we manage each other and each other's needs. Or sometimes you just stay topical and you say to them as the therapist in the room, Joe, pull the damn peach out. Like, just show her the damn peach so we can move
well,
on.
Well, I didn't want to do that.
Things.
But see, that's where I feel like what is nice is that where humor and personality comes in play as a therapist. Because,
right.
you know, if you're somebody who's very sort of like staid and, you know, rigid, you might really address it as this peach, you know. But I'm like, are we really arguing about this right now? You know, and so it was a way for us to sort of break the ice
yes.
and get into what the real issue was.
So tonight we're doing couples therapy. So we've got licensed therapist Rebecca Sheed with us, and we're talking about peaches.
Peaches.
No, we're talking about deeper meanings and how people can work out their psychic material and couples dynamics through something as basic as a peach, right?
Yes, right.
And I love that. So I'm the kind of therapist, I think very much like you are, where I value creativity
mm-hmm.
and
yes.
I think that there's not, quote unquote, a right way. I try to use myself as a tool, and I decide what might be needed in the moment for this particular
exactly.
individual or couple in front of me. And it might look different. And I am willing to do things that are not normal or standard for some therapists.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think you're kind of similar, where like, I like that you were like, it's a peach.
I'm like, are we really arguing about this? Because this is like a movie scene.
Right, right.
Like, it really this needs is. To be written.
It's a sitcom.
You know, it's fantastic. You know, and I think what's nice, too, is when you build a nice rapport with your clients, you can use humor in your therapy and right. use that with your interventions. And it's really lovely the way it plays out because you develop a nice rapport with your clients. I've noticed going to conferences, I don't know if you've noticed this, everyone is so, maybe not the conferences you go to.
That's why I don't
or used
go.
To be to.
This
but
is why
I've
I don't
gone
go
to them.
Anymore.
They're so
burn
uptight.
Out. They're so uptight. I don't.
I'm like, these people don't laugh.
And I say, and I think some of the therapists that listen to the show probably agree, because if you listen to my show, you got to be kind of on board with some of my own thought processes, clearly. But I don't generally enjoy therapists because of what
yes.
you just said. I think generally they've drank in the Kool-Aid.
Yes.
They've bought into the idea of how a therapist is supposed to be. They play into what we call toxic professionalism or respectability politics, where in order to be taken seriously as a therapist, I need to look the way I'm supposed to look. And I'm like, that is not authenticity.
No.
And I also think that you're modeling something problematic. So, yeah, I don't go to conferences. I can't stand the conversations. I always find myself that I don't fit in. I'm like, I got my tattoos blasting. I'm talking about my body positive, sex positive, radical politics. And they're just kind of staring at me. And I'm like, yeah, same back at you.
Well, right. And that kind of conformity makes me want to do something wild and crazy.
Ah, yes.
I don't know if
let's
you have
talk
that.
More about that after the break. Okay. Coming up next, Rebecca Ashida is going to be sharing with us her wildness at professional conferences. You're listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we're back, and tonight we're doing couples therapy, so we are talking with a licensed therapist, Rebecca Ashida. So right before the break, you left us on like a really beautiful cliffhanger, which was this concept of professional conferences really leave you wanting to do something over the top.
Yes, definitely.
All right, so fill in those blanks. What does that mean and why? What is this tension?
Yeah, you know, I think for me, I really have a problem with conformity. I don't want anyone telling me who I am, how I feel, how I should express myself. So when I'm in a situation where people are very rigid, and I've never been that kind of therapist, I'm more, when I'm with a client working with someone, I'm more conversational, you know?
You're relational.
Relational. And I also feel like, you know what? Everyone has problems, including me. So I don't, I'm
and you
no,
got, I mean, you
I don't,
got a lot.
And thanks, Chris, for that. Yeah. I'm loaded. I'm loaded up, baby. Baggage
I
mean, really and
everything. I'm just saying. Let's keep it real. Anyway, continue, please.
Yeah, so I just feel like when I'm in these situations where I was at a conference recently, a couples conference, and I made some comment, and I thought it was really funny. No one laughed. No, I mean, I don't know.
I would have probably been the only one laughing, been like, because I think your drive to rebel is a healthy act of adult resistance to this space that isn't honest, because there's nothing honest in that kind of repression.
Right, right.
And I think you're having a healthy drive to say, let me model truth and honesty and individuality and nonconformity. And most people in our culture actually really value uniformity and conformity. But I don't think that's mental health. I think mental health is about authenticity and truth. And isn't that what we're trying to do in our office? Help clients dig down into like what's real?
Right, right.
And so I actually love that resistance where I think some people see that as acting out. And I'm like, no, I think it's a healthy adult rebellion to what's not real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think it's interesting too, because I feel like what you might see a lot at a conference or with certain people is just this sort of one-dimensional side to them, which is like, I'm this professional and I act this way. And I just feel like that it doesn't feel authentic. I feel like there's so many parts of us,
right.
And I bring in humor, I bring
yes.
in other
yes.
aspects
yes.
to my work, because I'm like a well-rounded person. I'm not just this one aspect.
But that's why I really valued when you started getting into pole dancing for exercise and for fun and for socialization, and you would post it on your Facebook page, because I think that forces people to hold all parts of you. And I like that the pole dancing is very triggering for some people, or it tends to be something that's illegitimized.
Yes,
and it can be,
or they'll sexualize immediately.
Correct.
They'll go right to that.
And so I like that you're kind of saying, well, no, I'm going to make you hold all of this. I'm a professional and a mother, and I also do that, and I'm all these things, and I'm not going to hide any of them. And
right.
I think that that's how I want all my clients and I want listeners of the show to move through the world, where that you're okay being, it's okay that you're strange, it's okay that you're different, it's okay that you don't want to fall into professionalism and respectability politics and think that in order to be taken seriously you have to be a certain way.
Right,
and that's
right.
why on my IG, with some of the pictures I post, I will use the hashtag doctors with tattoos to really normalize that, like, I'm covered in them, and I'm also educated, and
right.
I'm also intelligent,
right.
and you're going to acknowledge all of that. I'm not
right.
going to hide any of those pieces.
Right. No, and I think that's wonderful, too, because then people when they see that in you, I think what also is amazing in the work is that they see you and what you represent, and that also helps them in their evolution and feeling I can be all these things too.
Yes, that's what I want.
You know, that, and I think that's so powerful. Like, that's without saying anything, right? You know.
So tonight we're talking with licensed therapist Rebecca Ishida. We're doing a little couples therapy. So we're just talking about the power of nonconformity.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the conference thing is so phenomenal. It's so funny you brought that up. I don't even really know how we even got to that, but that to me is something that makes me very anxious. I avoid them like the plague.
I can't stand it. It's like,
it's just not safe.
It just seems like you're supposed to be as buttoned up as possible.
Yes.
and ask the most profound question, right, and you should use really big words.
Right.
And it just feels so yucky to me. I don't know.
And I think that might be how a lot of people feel at all conferences, because I think that's the problem with some professionalism is we all have to dress a certain way and act a certain way. And I see that. And I roll in there in like sneakers and t-shirts and sweatpants with my tattoos blasting, and it's just really funny to see.
Yeah,
no,
I love, right. That's what I love too, is to see the responses.
Yeah.
I really enjoy that.
Yeah. I used to present at a lot of conferences, but I also got burnt out on that.
Hmm.
I generally got burnt on that because I don't like the way the conference world operates. You want me to feel the prestige of being accepted to speak at this conference, but I'm not getting paid and I have to fly myself there and put myself up. And you're making money off the tickets that people are buying, and yet you're not going to pay me for my time or labor. But without me, you can't even have your conference or make money. So you're making money off of me working for free. That's gross.
Mm.
Conferences should pay their speakers.
Oh, absolutely.
But they don't. Huh. And it's supposed to be prestigious that you got asked to speak, and you have to fly yourself in and put yourself up. Unless
Wait, they don't even pay for the flight?
No.
Oh.
And there's some conferences, and y'all hear this, this is even grosser, where they'll give you, at best, a discount ticket. The ones I speak at, I demand free entry, but sometimes they only want to give you a discount. And it's like, I'm sorry, I'm paying to put myself up, to fly myself in, and you also want me to pay a percentage to get in? Like, how much money do you need to make off my labor? And that's why I don't speak at conferences anymore.
Wow.
If you want me to speak, you pay me.
Yeah.
And that's how I think everyone should be.
Absolutely.
But but they're not. And that's the other element that I think I really struggle with, where I don't think that that's fair.
Mm.
And so I don't want to give them my name or my labor to make money off me. And so it's like, you don't get to put my name on that flyer. Nope.
Right, right.
Sorry.
No, I agree with you. Yeah, definitely.
So anyway, so let's just land the airplane on the peach story.
Okay.
So to circle back from conferences to peaches, I guess I want people listening to know that what might sound like a stupid argument or an argument over something stupid can either be something to just let go of.
Right.
Like,
right,
it's just a peach, it's his backpack. Or let's actually maybe use it as a moment to go deeper and say, like, what are we really battling?
Exactly.
About?
Exactly. And that's what I, you know, I got to discover with them and tie it to their dynamics and conflict resolution and everything else. And it was really a nice way to do that and a fun way to do it. But, you know, but the idea too, yeah, sometimes we need to let some things go.
Yeah. Sometimes a peach is just a peach.
Exactly.
And sometimes it's far deeper. Like, I mean, that's what's so interesting. I see in my own fights with people I'm in relationship with is like, sometimes I'm like, wow, this is dumb, let's let it go. And other times I'm like, we are actually battling out some deeper things that actually have a lot of value. Rebecca Ishida, where can people find you?
They can find me on IG at HungryBecca and RebeccaIshida.com.
Beautiful. Coming up next, we're going to be sliding into those DMs and later the question of the night, which is up on our Loveline IG page. Tonight's question is, worst Valentine's Day horror story or gift? Well, that's going to get real. Listen to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline.
This is Loveline with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right. We are back. Question of the night's on our Loveline IG page. But right now, it's time for some DMs.
Sliding into the DMs.
Sliding in the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms, because it's a big old sexy world. We want you to explore with confidence. Here we go. Hey, Dr. Chris. I've heard you talk about not wearing deodorant. Oh, I love it. This is my legacy. I also don't wear deodorant because I don't want to put harmful chemicals in my body. Yesterday, my boss called me on my cell phone at 8 p.m. to tell me that I smell bad at work. Yeah, that's a rough call to make. It's also a rough call to get. God bless both of y'all. She started asking me if there was a medical reason why I smell. Wow. I don't know how to interpret that part. I didn't answer her questions and just said that I appreciated her letting me know, and I left it at that. I think that's actually well said. Good for you. Yeah. Privacy and boundaries. You're allowed to have them, you know? I'm not really sure what to do about this. I don't want to start wearing deodorant because I don't want to expose myself to those chemicals, but I'm worried I might have to in order to avoid another awkward conversation. Okay. thousand things in here. First off, I applaud your boss for bringing it up. I think sometimes there are difficult conversations that need to be had. I also really value the way you handled it. I think it was really great that you were kind of like, you know, thank you for bringing it up. Here's what I do, because there are times where I know I'm going to be extra stinky and sweaty, or I'm going somewhere and I just don't want to deal with people's feelings about it, because I value very much what you're saying, because that's my reasoning. I'm not wearing deodorant because standard deodorants have really dangerous chemicals, including aluminum, and anything that's an antiperspirant is very much that. So sometimes I'll wear a natural deodorant. It's not an antiperspirant, so it doesn't stop sweating. Essentially, it's a really natural perfume is essentially what a natural deodorant is. It's just a scent, a natural scent that you can rub in there a little bit. Sometimes they have natural ingredients that can kill some bacteria. So what I essentially do is I carry some natural deodorant with me if I'm going to be at an event all day and I think I might smell and I'm in one of those spaces where I just don't really want my shirt to smell, or I don't want to put people off. So that's what I'd recommend. Go to Whole Foods, Trader Joe's, a natural health food store, get a natural deodorant, keep it in your bag and just roll it on every couple hours. Nothing dangerous or problematic in there. It'll kill a little bit of the bacteria. Keep your boss happy and just do it on work days and other days. Let the world enjoy your natural scent. Slide the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms, because it's a big old sex world. Why do you support confidence? Coming up next, we'll be talking about friends with benefits and then game night. Listening to Love Line with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Love Line. This is Love Line with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we're back. And just in case you didn't hear, you want to go to Miami? We are channelq.com. We got the Miami Pride Flyaway. Everyone's welcome to the free Oceanside Celebration, which is presented by Celebrity Cruises. But if you want to sip on ice-cold drinks from the open bar in the VIP lounge and enjoy a champagne brunch before the parade, you want to enter at wearechannelq.com, because we will fly you and a friend to beautiful Miami Beach, set you both up in a gorgeous hotel, and provide you with two VIP weekend passes. Again, go to wearechannelq.com to get to South Beach for Miami Pride, and that is April 3rd, 4th, and 5th. Wearechannelq.com. Question of the night. It's up on our Love Line IG page, so head over to that. Answer that. It's about Valentine's Day, horror stories, and horrible gifts. And then, of course, we'll be doing a little game night because it's Thursday night. If you want to play game night, go head-to-head against Dr. D to win a Channel Q prize package. Slide into our DMs on our Loveline IG page and tell the producers you want to play game night every Thursday night. Hit me up. All right. So friends with benefits. These kinds of things are always fascinating topics. They always get amazing responses. Some people think there's no such thing. I think it's an awesome thing. Yes, sometimes people can realize we have a lot of sexual chemistry, but we don't necessarily have romantic compatibility, right? We can have friendship where compatibility works, but to create a romantic structure, not so much there, but there's an attraction. So friends with benefits, why is it a good thing? Well, first off, not everyone wants a relationship. Some people are like, look, I want to hang out with my friends. I want to get some sex that feels intimate, close, safe, and protected. But it doesn't necessarily mean I want to use it to build intimacy beyond that level. And so friends with benefits can be a really beautiful thing. Everyone's on the same page. I mean, that's the caveat. Friends with benefits means we all are on the same page with what's available, with what's happening, and no one's misusing or confused. If you're using it as a way to steal closeness from someone who you want to be romantic with but isn't available for that, it's not friends with benefits. It is something else, and you're going to wind up hurting yourself and you're misleading yourself, right? And also on the other end, if someone's having sex with you and you know they want more and you're just looking for friends with benefits, you've made it clear, don't do it. I want this year to be about consent and compassion. So just because someone's saying they're open to sex, if you know it's negatively impacting them, back away and don't do it. But for those that are on the same page and are down with it, I think it's a beautiful thing. Why? Well, again, sometimes you're not looking to date and you don't want romance. And that's why friends with benefits is beautiful. You get everything. You literally get everything if everyone's on the same page. Also, it's perfect for people that just trust each other. Look, hookup culture and online dating culture can be really toxic. It can be really dangerous. It can be really dark. People aren't always loving, not taking care of each other. People are lying and misleading. And friends with benefits is open. You talk about it all. It's transparent. No one's harmed. Everyone's aware of what's going on. Maybe you're also dating other people. At some point, you might realize you want a relationship or exclusivity with someone else. So you tell your friend with benefits, look, I'm no longer available for that. And there's no hard feelings because they knew that that's all it was. It wasn't necessarily going to be ongoing or sustainable. And they say, awesome. Enjoy it. Fall in love. I'll maybe start dating or I'll have sex with someone else, they say, you know? Also, because not all sexual relationships have to be rooted in love. I love that statement. Sex has a lot of purposes. It can be for recreation, procreation, fun, pleasure. Also, for some people, it's a job. It's about employment. So again, this is a beautiful way to get closer to some friends. What? Friendship including sex? Yeah, that's the whole point. There's nothing wrong with that. And sometimes it can lead to more, but it should be rooted, again, in everyone being on the same page and not looking for anything more necessarily. It's also, for some people, the most real, honest thing. We're here for what we're here for. There's no expectations beyond that. We feel safe and comfortable. We know where each other's at. We've talked about the limits and boundaries. And that's a really, really stunningly beautiful thing. And that's what it's all about, like transparency. I want more transparency between people. I want people to be open to talking about what they're looking for. Look, something I see in my office is sometimes a lot of assumptions. People make a lot of assumptions about whether or not they're in a monogamous relationship. People make a lot of assumptions about what the boundaries of monogamy are. I tell couples all the time, discuss what that means. What are the gray areas? What does it mean to step outside of that? We're not all always on the same page, right? So I love this idea. You're in a relationship with someone, it's friendship or it's friends with benefits. We all know it's available and we talk that out. That's why sometimes for some people, it's the safest, most honest thing because it's so nailed down what the structure is, where for other people, they're not always on the same page or aware of what's happening. And that's when people get wounded. And that's why, again, it's that whole consent, but also with compassion. The compassion piece is, again, is always looking at how we're impacting other people. And we're taking that into account because, again, we've said this before here on Loveline, healthy ethical sex is sex where no one's harmed. Healthy ethical dating is dating where no one's harmed, where everyone walks away feeling better about themselves, better about the world and dating and sex, or at least neutral, but we're not leaving people worse off, because that's a misuse of relationality and sexuality. It's not supposed to harm anyone. Sexual health and wellness is about it bolstering our self-esteem, our body esteem. We walk away better. We feel nourished. It's like a special vitamin, but we don't walk away feeling worse about ourselves and the world and what's to come. Because remember, we're always healing people or further wounding them. We're always reinforcing the problematic messaging that they're already trying to work through, or we're healing that. Be part of a healing process. But again, I want people to take self-responsibility. Ask questions. If you're unclear, ask them. I can't tell you how many times I've said to people, I don't know, go ask them. Or stop asking your friends, ask the person, right? It's just good relational skills, vulnerability, but more importantly, only that person themselves can tell you. And that's why friends with benefits sometimes is the most honest relationship you'll have, because it's talked out. It's clear, the boundaries are there. We all know what's happening. So bam. Anyway, check it out. Coming up next, game night. Let's see who wins. And then question of the night, still weighing on that. Loveline IG page. Listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new channel Q and radio.com. All right, we're back. Question of the night. It's up on our Loveline IG page. Tonight's question is, worst Valentine's Day horror story or gift? Oh, I got a few good ones of my own. But now it's time to play a little game. It's time for game night. So we got Anastasia joining us tonight. What's going on? Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Yeah, thanks for coming by. I'm glad you were local. So for those listening, every Thursday night we play game night. If you want to go up against me for a chance to win a Channel Q prize package, slide into the DMs on our Loveline IG page and tell the producers that you want to play game night. All right, so tonight's game is about Valentine's Day, and it's basically called How Well Do You Know Valentine's Day? So me and Anastasia will both be getting multiple choice. We'll be going head-to-head, and it's the best out of, what is it, five?
Best out of five.
Best out of five. All right, let's go. I'll let Anastasia go first.
Okay.
All right. And you both can answer the question.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So the first one is, in which country is it customary for women to give men chocolate on Valentine's Day? Is it Japan, Canada, Switzerland, or Italy?
I'm going to say B, Switzerland.
Ooh. Anastasia?
I was kind of... Switzerland, and then what was that?
It's Japan, Canada, Switzerland, or Italy?
I think you just added Canada. I didn't hear that originally.
No, it was there. It was there.
I
was going to think Switzerland or Italy. You said Switzerland. I'll go with Italy.
You're both wrong.
Oh,
Wait, I like the human beatbox. We're both wrong. What's the answer?
It's Japan.
What?
Yeah, so in Japan, it's customary for women to give men chocolate on Valentine's Day.
All right, ladies, buy that chocolate. It's time.
Okay. All right. You ready for the next one?
Yep, 0-0.
Bing, bing, bing. All right. The Bronx Zoo lets you name an animal after your lover on Valentine's Day. What is it? A, pigeon. B, duck. C, rat. D, cockroach.
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 Bing, 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 bing.
We're both right?
You're both right.
I knew about that.
Yes. All right. So one and one. So this is the next one. What movie was not released on Valentine's Day? Silence of the Lambs, Daredevil, 50 Shades of Grey, A Good Day to Die Hard.
Wait. A Good Day to Die Hard, that's a movie?
Yeah, it's with Ben.
Wait, what was the first one?
Silence of the Lambs.
I'm going to go Silence of the Lambs.
I was too. What was the second one?
Daredevil, 50 Shades of Grey, or A Good Day to Die Hard?
Silence of the Lambs.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it's 50 Shades of Grey.
Was not on Valentine's
Day. Was not released.
So Silence of the Lambs was released on Valentine's Day?
Yep.
Wow, that's interesting promo.
I swore 50 Shades of Grey.
Could you imagine on Valentine's Day and be like, hey, boo, we're going to go see Silence of the Lambs? Actually, that's perfect for me. I love horror movies.
I do, really? I want to go see Fantasy Island. That comes out tomorrow.
Way to my heart. Yeah. Does it really? Mm-hmm. That comes out on Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. All right, so there's 1-1 right now. All right, the next question. How much do Americans spend on Valentine's Day? Is it A, $10.5 million, B, $8.3 billion, C, $19.7 billion, or D, $40.2
billion? Oh my God, I don't even know how to assess that.
I'm going to go with $40.2 billion. I feel like we're hopeless romantics.
I zoned out. I'm going to say C for Chris.
C is right.
Wow!
When in doubt, it's C like when you do on the SATs. I'm just going to, like, you know, do C for Chris, a D, I have to use D to one. All right.
That was
2-1. Sorry, Anastasia. In your face.
All right.
Okay.
You, sorry,
I know nothing about Valentine's Day. I don't even have Valentine.
Same. All right. So the next question. When did conversation hearts get their start? Is it A, 1866, B, 1912, C, 1956, or D, 1980?
B.
Again, the when did conversation hearts get their start?
Like emojis?
No, the little candies, you know, the little candies.
Oh, that, conversation hearts. Candies, I mean, like hearts that you text or something. I don't know.
1866,
oh, okay.
1912,
1956, or 1980?
1912.
That's B as well. That's what I said too.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it was 1866.
That
wow.
Far?
I know, right?
They were going for me.
They were going.
All right, so that means I'm still winning.
You're still winning. Got a couple questions left though.
You just in the what? Face, Anastasia just gave me. That was deep side eye. That was a deep side eye.
I thought we only had 5 questions. This
How many
like
was
way
that?
More.
That was actually 5, but we have an extra one.
Yay.
Okay, cool.
All right,
so yeah. if you get this one, we tie. If I get this one, well, I don't even have to get this one.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see.
All right, so in Roman mythology, who is Cupid's mom? Psyche, Venus, Juno, or Luna?
A, Psyche.
Psyche, Luna, what?
Psyche, Venus, Juno, or Luna?
Venus.
Yes!
I was going to change my answer.
No, you
are. Because inside I wanted that one more. Can I change it that way?
Nope.
Venus
Does
was
the inside
of love
answer
or something.
That I gave count?
No.
Because I said Venus with my inside.
Okay,
voice.
All right. This is our tiebreaker. This is our tiebreaker, okay?
Cool.
All right, you guys ready?
Yeah.
Which type of chocolate is the most popular in the United States? Is it A, white chocolate, B, milk chocolate, C, dark chocolate, or D, bittersweet?
B, milk chocolate.
I'm going to go with dark chocolate.
Dr. Chris is our winner!
Whoa!
Wow! Oh, I should never doubt myself.
Oh, Anastasia. I think maybe we'll still give you a Channel Q prize package.
Yeah.
Okay.
We like everyone to feel like a winner.
Thank you.
Even though the world knows I actually won. Okay. Thanks for playing. If you guys want to play me next week, I promise I don't cheat anymore. And you want to win a Channel Q prize package, go on our Loveline IG page, slide in the DMs and let them know. Coming up next, though, Question of the Night, and then we'll be sliding into those DMs. You're listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline.
This is Loveline with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we're back. Y'all want to win a trip to Miami Pride? It's April 3rd, 4th, and 5th. Escape to sunny South Beach for Pride weekend. Head over to wearechannelq.com for your chance to win. We will fly you and a friend to beautiful Miami Beach, set you up in a gorgeous hotel, and provide the both of you with 2 weekend VIP passes. You'll be sipping drinks from the open bar in the VIP lounge and also enjoying a champagne brunch before the parade. So again, enter the contest at wearechannelq.com to go to Miami Beach Pride the 3rd through the 5th of April. And note, all are welcome to the free Oceanside Celebration presented by Celebrity Cruises. And now it's time for Question of the Night.
Question of the Night.
Tonight's question is about Valentine's Day. Worst Valentine's Day horror stories or gifts. Oh man, it brings up a lot. But don't worry, it's almost here, and that means it's almost gone for those that want it over. First one, someone said, broke up with a guy because he would go through my trash to see what I was eating. Wait, what is? How's that Valentine's Day story? Oh my God, I don't know. I love the story. I have no idea how that has to do with Valentine's Day, but that's amazing. They would go through your trash to see what you were eating? What? I need details. I've got so many questions about some of these sometimes. Someone else said, got a bottle of maple syrup from a gift box to someone else because they don't like maple syrup. Look, I'm not mad. I actually love 100% natural maple syrup, excuse me. So if someone ever wants to gift me that, I'll take it. Other bad gifts, jumper cables. Can you imagine? This person said, though, it was their dad. Their dad once gave their mom a set of jumper cables for Valentine's Day. I mean, that might be one of those things that's filed under things you really needed. And sometimes we use holidays as times to get something that they really need. I don't know. Maybe mom and dad weren't needing romance anymore. Someone else said, and I swear it's true, I got a toilet seat.
What?
Again, some of these are falling under things that I guess are more out of necessity, but I mean, God bless. Someone the other night was saying, I forget what the question was, the DM, it was about, not Valentine's Day, I think it was birthday. They said, I really just want my phone bill paid off. Is it okay to ask them just to pay off my phone bill? Okay, Valentine's Day. Yeah, I think it's good to ask for what you want. I think it's good to give someone what they really want. That's going to make them smile. Someone's like, yo, pay off my phone bill. Don't buy me flowers and chocolates and teddy bear. Pay off my bill. It's like, do it, right? It's all in the meaning, not in what it is. Someone else said, I got a flower with borrowed money. I mean, I got questions. Like, how did you know that that's what that was? Someone else said, I got a breakup email. Could you imagine on Valentine's Day? I mean, I get that some people need what they need to do, but like, you couldn't just, I mean, you're upset about the email part. I'm like, why on Valentine's Day? Why not the day before? Why not the day after? Like, literally, it was on Valentine's Day. You decided it needs to end. It needs to end now. Like, do it the day before. Do it the day after. But woof. Y'all keep it real. Someone said, worst Valentine's Day horror story or gift, a confirmation of delivery, but no flowers. Oh, that stinks, man. Could you imagine getting that? Someone tried to deliver you or something was delivered and it just never came because someone stole it or they went to the wrong address somehow or something. That's horrible. I'd be so bummed out. Someone says they got an oversized tank top. I don't really know what that means or what you do with that. I mean, I'd still rock it. Yeah. Like, that's in now. Everything's baggy, kind of swimming in it, wear it to bed. I'm mad. Someone else said, inappropriate candy messages. I'm not mad at that either. I'm not going to lie. Someone said, as far as question night, Valentine's Day, horror story, or gift, bad gifts, dental hygiene products. Again, I'm kind of into it. I love dental hygiene stuff. Like, get me that. Look, dental floss, the good dental floss, the thick kind, is not cheap. You want to gift me a few of those little dental floss things? I'm in. It's the like fancy brand. It's in a gray package. It's like thicker kind. It's not cheap. Yeah, I'm not mad at that one. What else do we hear? Today's question of the night is Valentine's Day horror stories or gifts. A heart made out of meat that you can eat. That's just gross. What do they do? Roll up like loose. What do you call the hamburger meat that chopped up that they roll? Shredded beef. Is that what you call it? In a heart shape? Like, did they cook it? Is it raw? Other Valentine's Day horror stories or bad gifts. Any type of cleaning tool, supply, or appliance. Again, I don't know. Maybe I'm too practical. If I needed like a new blender or something and that's what you gave me for my Valentine's Day gift, I'm all about it. What else did we say? Someone else said a talking bear. Why is that bad? Like, is it one with a recorded message that's adorable or one that's like holding a little sign or even a card attached? Like, I'm not mad at stuff like that. So like, that's not necessarily a bad one. Yeah, build a bear. That's actually really adorable to me. And finally, someone said expired coupons. I'm not mad at that either. Oh, we got a couple good ones for some stories. Someone said last year on Valentine's Day, I got a call from a girl who I was dating saying we wouldn't become anything. Again, why y'all choosing Valentine's Day to do? Someone said as far as their horror story on Valentine's Day, I had sex with a girl who told me after that she had an STD, but later told me she was lying. What? I don't even understand some of this. This is a good one. This one's long. Someone said, sophomore year of high school, my boyfriend shows up to school with a rose. I start beaming, run up and give him a kiss. He stops me in my tracks and say, we have to talk. Turns out he bought the rose for a different girl. Oh, my heart hurts. My heart hurts. Someone else said, as far as horrible stories on Valentine's Day, when I was 16, my school was selling roses for $1 for some school thing. Thought it'd be cute to buy my boyfriend one. He was my first ever boyfriend. I was just trying to press him. Well, he took the rose and said, hey, thanks. I was looking for something to get my mom. Y'all are killing me. Someone else said, when I was 5 or so, I got food poisoning, was throwing up all day. I remember I had a V8 juice. So my puke was pink. but I thought it was pink because of Valentine's Day. Spent the day lying in a sleeping bag in the living room. My sister decided to climb in there with me. Horror stories of Valentine's Day gifts or whatnot. Someone said, I just know that mine's coming this year. When my girlfriend has insisted she doesn't care about Valentine's Day and I've been stupid enough to listen to her, she probably will turn that around tomorrow, but I'm drawing a blank. I don't know what that means. Someone else said, my fourth grade boyfriend stood me up on Valentine's Day. Fourth grade boyfriend. Aw, sweet. To be with his third grade girlfriend. Wow, y'all going real, you're digging real far back. My high school sweetheart stood me up on Valentine's Day for unknown reasons. You know, we all love to treat each other real kind on Valentine's Day. Thanks to those that participated. Coming up next, we'll be sliding into those DMs. Listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we're back. And now it's time to slide into those DMs.
Sliding into the DMs.
Sliding the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms because it's a big old sex world. We want you to explore it with confidence. Here we go. Dear Dr. Chris, I went on a date last night and this person asked how many people I've slept with. I decided to answer and was met with an open mouth shock, surprised, and barely veiled disdain. Oof. I felt that. They had slept with less people than I had and proudly said that, along with that two of them were virgins. They ended with, it's not like I think you're a whore, though. Oh my gosh. Today they texted and apologized, saying that my experience is just different from theirs, causing the reaction to be so extreme. Should I continue seeing this person? Let's unpack this. First off, never answer that question. There's absolutely nothing to be learned about someone by giving a number around how many sex partners you've had. There's nothing to be learned. In fact, it is 99.999% of the time a very loaded question, and people are asking that to make an assessment of you, a judgment. And no one who's truly sex positive would ever ask that question. So if someone asks that question, know that they're probably sex negative and they're probably trying to assess your worth dependent upon how many partners you've had, assuming you've had less because they want to value you around that. So never answer that. I really think it's better to stare it in its mouth and say, what are you trying to assess in me? And they'll say, no, nothing. I'm just curious. And you can say, well, your curiosity is driven by an attempt to figure something out. And I'd really rather understand what it is you're trying to figure out about me so I can go directly and answer that. And essentially, you're either going to leave them dumbfounded because they don't have a lot of self-awareness, or they're going to come clean at some point and say, I want to decide whether or not you're slutty to me and whether or not your sexuality scares me. So never answer that first off. But you did. Second off, no one should be proud of the number they've slept with, especially if it's less than someone else. That doesn't give you more value or worth because you've had less sex partners or even more. Again, that number isn't tied to anything, right? So I want people to move away from this question as though it has any meaning or value, unless you want to really talk about it in terms of what you've learned about yourself and all the different beautiful, diverse experiences you've had. There's meaning in that part of it. And then when the person says, it's not like I thought you were a whore, though, again, it's rooted in them having thought that, actually, they're trying to defend that. Now, again, as always, I think it's really important mental health wise to allow people to be apologetic and accountable and to be allowed to kind of improve and transform. So if someone reaches out and says, look, you know, I was thinking about what happened and I apologize and I'm working on being better, then we accept that, right? As long as someone apologizes and takes accountability, you can feel good reconnecting. Because again, if they say, I'm sorry, I understand what I did, I want to let you know that I know how it impacted you, and also here's how I'll work on being better, let them back in. So I would say give them another chance. You went on the date last night, it was a one-off, but be sensitive to whether or not they continue on with other covert, overt versions of this. And then you say to them, look, you have a lot of help, a lot of work to do. Your mental health isn't that great, especially around your, you know, your sexual health and wellness stuff. Because I don't want anyone to be with someone who hasn't done that work on their sexuality. Like, it's really important to not be with people that are going to slut shame you or, you know, look at you in terms of your value based on the sex you've had or not had. So question mark there. But yeah, I think it's okay to see them again. They apologize and kind of see where that goes. But moments like that are really powerful, not the best. Sliding the DM is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms because it's a big old sex of the world and we want you to explore with confidence. DMs, our Loveline G page is where you go to ask them, and that's where we get these from. So if you want your question asked on air, slide into our DMs on our Loveline IG page. Otherwise, go to wearechannelq.com. That's where you find our show podcasted, all the old episodes. You can post them, share them, binge them. Wearechannelq.com. Otherwise, we'll be back on Monday, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern. As always, thanks for hanging out with me, and y'all have an awesome, awesome night.